If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 10. We have been in John for a little while. And as you are turning there, turning your device on, whatever the case may be, you can also, by the way, follow us on YouVersion. You can go to events and find River Cities Community Church, or you can type in the zip code or something like that, and it'll show you where we are. And you can follow along, or you can follow along on the River Cities app. That's got a lot of information. You go in, and I believe you go to sermons, and it should bring the notes up. So you've got that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will jump right in. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we praise you for who you are. Lord, thank you for the people who were willing to get up this morning, or those folks who are up and watching online this morning. I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to all of us, including me. I ask that you would speak over me so that they hear your voice and not mine. Father, I praise you for the power of the cross. I praise you for the power of your Spirit. And Father, we pray that you would speak to us today, binding the hand of the enemy so that he can't have any influence here. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we all have these handy-dandy little devices. I was actually making sure mine's on silent. I get phone calls all of the time from the Social Security Department of the United States. Do any of you all get that? Or maybe you get a phone call about your car warranty. Okay, yeah. Most of those are fake, if not all of them. Frauds. When we think about frauds, that's the first thing that came to my mind was that. But then I also ran across a story of a man named George Solomonazzaro. I tried 20 times to say his name, and I still didn't do it right. But anyway, this man was born, or he lived around the 1700s. And George, we'll call him, told everybody that he was from Taiwan. And this is back when nobody had been to Taiwan. They didn't even really call it Taiwan at that point. They called it Formosa. No one in Europe had been there, so he began to tell people that that was where he was from. And he began to tell these stories about the country that he came from. As a matter of fact, he went so far as to write a book on the culture. And he talked about how they would sacrifice thousands of children to a god every year. And he talked about how they would, for breakfast, have the poison of snakes. And he talked about cannibalism and all of these things. And people just, he caught on like wildfire, and people were inviting him to come and to lecture about his exotic country until they found out that he was from the south of France. He was a fraud. Have you ever met a fraud? Have you ever been listening to someone and all of a sudden you're excited about what they're talking about, and then as you are listening, you're going, those things don't add up. And then you feel like a sucker. I remember the old cartoons when Bugs Bunny or whoever would be embarrassed. They would feel like a sucker, and you would see a sucker appear over in front of them. And sometimes that's what we feel like when we've been suckered by a fraud. Well, today we're going to see some frauds. We're going to see some people who were not quite what they said they were. But more than that, we are going to see the genuine article. We are going to see the Good Shepherd. We are going to see Jesus. Jesus is going to begin to talk to these folks. Actually, it's a continued conversation all the way back from chapter 7. So if you flipped back to chapter 7, we're not going there. We're going to be in 10. But if you went back to chapter 7, that's where all of this has begun. All of the discussion where they're talking about his father, who his father is, who his father was, him claiming God as his father, all of the things that they have discussed. And if you've been with us, then you know that that was the case. Well, during the time from chapter 7 to chapter 10, there has been a celebration, a Jewish feast. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And there have been other things going on. But during that time, what you're going to see are the religious leaders and how they treated Jesus. You see, what they did during that time, they sent people to arrest Jesus. They sent people to try to trick him with difficult questions. They tried to get him to say things that he shouldn't have said. They've tried to claim that he is a blasphemous person. They've tried to claim that he's demonic. All of these things these religious leaders have done. They went so far as to take the blind man that we read about a couple weeks ago, who Jesus healed, a man that was blind from birth. And when they found out that Jesus healed him, they kicked him out of the temple. Those are the religious leaders that we're talking about. Alfred Edersheim, historian, said this. He said, "If the scenes of the last few days has made anything plain, it's the unfitness of the teachers of Israel for their professed work in feeding the flock of God." They were imposters. Oh, yes, they had the official title. They had the official role. They had all of those things. But down deep, they were imposters. And Jesus was the real deal. And in chapter 10, Jesus is going to call them out once again. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, he says this. And this is connected to the last chapter. He says, "Truly, truly," or "Amen, amen, let it be, I say to you, he that does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out his own, all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, the religious leaders, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let me kind of paint a picture for you real quick in case you're not familiar with sheep. Sheep, as Pastor Rob said, are not the brightest of animals, and we are compared to sheep. You're welcome. Thank you. But one of the things that they would do back in those days is all of the shepherds in the area would bring all of their sheep, and they would all put them in the same pen or fold. And so they would be mixing among the different sheep. But that was all for safety and security. But after that, when morning came, the shepherd would come out and he would give his call and he would call his sheep by name, and the sheep from the midst of all of the other sheep would come and follow that shepherd, their shepherd. No other shepherd would they follow. And so you would see that one after another. And so that shepherd would go and he would call out to his sheep and he would draw them out. And as they were coming out, he would make sure that he had all of his sheep, and then he would lead them out to pasture. And he would care for them that whole day. And he would take care of them, and he would make sure they had food and water and safety. That's the idea that we're talking about here. And what Jesus says is, the one who enters through the gate, he is the one that is supposed to be there. But the one who climbs over the wall into the sheepfold, in amongst the sheep, now, he's a liar and a thief. And what Jesus is going to share this morning, well, he shared it a long time ago. What I'm going to share this morning is that Jesus is the only door. He says, "I am the door." And he's going to share that "I am the only shepherd, and I am only obedient to the Father." That's what Jesus says to these men. Look at verse 7. "So Jesus said to them again." Now, he just shared that story, the idea of the sheepfold, and they didn't get it. Went over their head. They had no clue. So he's going to come back around and say it again in a more pointed fashion. He says this, "Truly, truly," or "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep don't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so they may have life and have it abundantly. Look at this passage closely, because what Jesus does is he makes an exclusive claim. He says, I alone am the door to the sheep. I alone am the door to the kingdom. I alone am the door to salvation. It is Jesus and Jesus only to find our way to God. A very exclusive claim that is not well looked upon now. That claim was strong then, and it stands strong today. And not everyone believes that. Not everyone will say that. Even people who are professing Christians question whether or not Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus' words, I am the only. You've heard of Steve Harvey. Now, not the fellow that works with the football team here. Family Feud guy. He's a professing Christian. But lately there's been an interview going around that he gave, and here are his words. There's not only one way to heaven. Now, we could stop right there and go, eh. But he goes on. There is no one way to heaven, no one way to paradise. It's like television. He says, there are over 800 channels on cable. I don't know, I got more than that. That I don't use. 500 of them are Home Shopping Network. But he says this. He says, there are over 800 channels on cable. And they're all pretty entertaining. So I'm pretty sure that to get to heaven, there's got to be more than one route. Because somebody's watching another channel, or somebody's taking another channel than you. Rather, they're still getting entertained, and they're probably still getting into heaven. Steve Harvey is wrong. Now, he's funny, and he does a lot of positive things, but in this, he is wrong. Jesus said, I am the only door. He is. Jesus is the only door. It is not Muhammad. It is not Buddha. It is not you. It is not me. It is not any man other than Jesus Christ. Sorry to beat around the bush a little bit on that. Jesus said back in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you that he that does not enter through the sheepfold by the door but climbs in another way is a thief and a robber. So anyone who enters the fold other than through Jesus is there probably for nefarious reasons. Jesus was forcing his listeners, his hearers, to make a decision, and he forces everyone to make a decision. Jesus is not just a good teacher, he is God. Jesus is not just a moral teacher, he is the sacrifice sent so that we could be saved. It is an exclusive claim. And we need to be aware, just because somebody holds up a Bible and talks about their Bible, or uses a Bible verse to back their claim, it does not mean that they are pointing you to Jesus. Pay attention to their words. Pay attention to their actions. We live in a culture that when you make a pointed statement, people call you mean. And sometimes we are. But sometimes that pointed statement is in love, like Jesus saying, there is no other way. We live in a culture that if you say ugly things in a nice way, we may give you a pass. Or you can say things that lead people to hell with a smile, and you'll get a pass. Folks, we've got to be very careful. And look at what is being said. Compare it with what the Scriptures say. And if it doesn't match what Jesus says in the context of what is being said, if it doesn't match what the Scriptures say in the context of what's being said, then it should be questioned. Whether, if it comes from me, it should be questioned. If it does not agree with the Scriptures. We need to pay attention. There are folks that are out to harm you. There are other folks that may not try to harm you, but they will take advantage of you to get what they want. That was the shepherds of the flock of Israel at this point, the religious leaders. Jesus said in verse 8, he said, "All that came before me are thieves and robbers." One man said the difference between a thief and a robber is a thief will take things from you but doesn't want to hurt you. A robber will injure you to get what he wants. Jesus is aiming his comments at the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those scribes who have been questioning and questioning and trying to trick and planning to kill him. All of those things. Those are the folks that he's talking to when he's saying this. These are the people who were to be feeding the sheep of Israel, not feeding on the sheep of Israel, but that's exactly what they were doing. And it's not a new thing. The prophet Jeremiah actually prophesies about this in Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord." So it's the Lord speaking here. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who take care for my people. You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away. You have not attended to them. And behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord." So the prophet says, you're scattering the sheep. You're not caring for the sheep. You're injuring the sheep. All of these things are going on. And God says, woe to you, shepherds, who are doing these things. So he calls them out. And then there is this other prophecy that he gives in verse 5, Jeremiah 23, 5. Listen to what he says. He says, "Behold," so that's pay attention, look, listen, "behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch." Now notice the word branch is capitalized. That's important. I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute judgment, justice, and righteousness in the land." So God will raise up for David from the line or the lineage of King David a king who will rule and reign. Very interesting if you look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is the genealogy of Jesus. He says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of who? David and the son of Abraham. Jesus is the branch that Jeremiah was talking about. He is the shepherd that will come and take care of the sheep. He is the king who will rule and reign. As for those who snuck in the fold among the sheep, those strangers, well, Jesus says in verse 8, the sheep don't listen to them. And this is what Jesus was saying earlier to the shepherd or to the religious leaders. The sheep don't listen to strangers. And it's interesting because these so-called shepherds of Israel, these leaders of Israel, they didn't get what he was saying. They couldn't hear Jesus. So that tends to indicate that they were not sheep, that they had snuck into the fold. So this is why the true flock of God would not follow their lead. Back in verses 3 through 5, Jesus said, "The sheep hear the voice hear his voice, and he calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, a stranger's voice they will not follow." So here is the difference between these religious leaders who are frauds and the good shepherd, Jesus. Look at verse 9. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief will only comes to steal, kill, and destroy." I have to slow down when I say that, or I say steal, kill, and destroy. The West Virginia comes out in me. That's what he's here for. But Jesus said, "I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly." So Jesus is the way into the fold of God. There are folks that sneak around and are trying to draw away sheep. There are folks that are there, they're doing all kinds of things, but they're not following the voice of Jesus. Jesus came to give safety eternally, abundant life, which is the main focus here. It's not the idea of being healthy, wealthy, and wise on this planet, but it is the idea of having an eternal home. When you think of the enemy, when you think of the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, don't just think about Satan. Jesus is pointing this at those religious leaders, those false teachers. There are false teachers who will steal from you and would kill and destroy you as believers. This is why Jesus says, I am the only shepherd. I'm the only shepherd. We know him as the great shepherd, but he says, I'm the only shepherd. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is hired, a hired hand, and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees, talking about the hired hand, because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus is contrasting himself both with those false shepherds and those, as the King James says, hirelings, those hired hands. So Jesus came to give his sheep abundant life in opposition to the curse that was put on people and also to dead religion, which doesn't give life. He's really painting with a broad picture here, or painting a picture here of these sheep. And again, it reminds us of Psalm 23 that we read just a few minutes ago. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no need. He provides for me. He protects me. He is with me and I am with him. We see that the hired hand runs when there's danger. Now, a hired hand can be of great benefit to a person if they have a flock to care for. However, they're just that. They're a hired hand. So they don't care about the flock. And I really hadn't thought much about this, but some of the religious leaders, they weren't necessarily trying to destroy. They were just getting a paycheck. Matthew Henry says this. He says, there were many who were not thieves, and they weren't aiming to kill or destroy the sheep, but they passed for shepherds, and yet they were very careless in their discharge of their duty. And though their neglect for the flock was greatly damaging, so they didn't care. When the wolf came, when danger came, out the door they went. They were gone. The hired hand would not put himself in danger, but the shepherd would. It's reminiscent of what David said to Saul when he went to Saul saying, I can take on this Philistine. I can take on Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, he says this, your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the army of the living God. A shepherd risks his life for the sheep. A hired hand does not. A false teacher does not. Something else we learn about a shepherd is a shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. One man pointed out that there's a mutual acquaintance between the shepherd and the sheep, between Christ and the believer. They know each other very well. Jesus knows those who belong to Him, and those who belong to Him know Him. Jesus knows that those who are His and then those who are faking. There are many parables that Jesus shares and stories that He shares to speak of this fact. You could look at the wheat and the tares in Matthew. We're not going to do that for sake of time. Jesus knows His flock. The question for us is this: do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? He is the good shepherd. He is the one who loves you. He is the one who wants to care for you. You say, well, I'm not Jewish. He's talking to Jewish people in this. I'm glad you brought that out. Look at verse 16. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. He has sheep that are not just of Israel. For that matter, not everyone who is Jewish is part of His flock. An example of some of those who are of a different flock, we find in Acts chapter 18 when the Apostle Paul has gone to preach in Corinth. God speaks to him through a vision, verse 9, Acts 18, 9. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on to speak and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you. Now look at this. He says, for I have many in this city who are my people. These were non-Jewish people. They belonged to the Lord. So, if you are non-Jewish, if you are a Gentile, do you know Jesus? And when we say, do you know Jesus, it's the idea of, do you know Him? Do you know His character? Do you know His words? Do you know His actions? Do you know His teachings? Do you filter your thoughts and your actions through His Word? Do I do that? In saying, His sheep hear His voice, I'm not necessarily saying that it's an audible voice that we're talking about. But it's knowing His message, knowing His character. Are you convicted of sin when you read His Word? Are you convinced of your faith when you read His Word? Are you hungry for His Word? Are you in the flock of Jesus? It is not by your actions. It is not by your ability. It's not by you giving money. It's not by you helping your neighbor. It is only through Jesus that we enter into the flock and are forgiven and given an eternal inheritance with God. Listen, we are made right with God, placed in His flock, by placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, Jew, Gentile, man, woman, whoever. Because every one of us has sinned. We have all fallen short of God's perfect standard. We've all broken His law. We've all told a lie, even if it's a little one, that counts. We have committed adultery by looking with lust. We have used God's name as a cuss word, which is blasphemy. We've broken the Ten Commandments of God. We have lived lives focused on ourselves. We have all sinned. That includes me. Yet God, in His grace, makes us free in His sight. He forgives us of our sin, and He did this through Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sin on the cross. It's His sacrifice. It's His shedding of the blood. And this is showing that God is fair and He is just. Even those who believed in the Old Testament, God did not count the sins, their sins against them. They offered sacrifices. Those sacrifices covered their sin. But when Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, the sins of the believers were washed away, not covered. They're gone. Wait a minute. That's an amen. We have been forgiven if we have trusted Christ as our Savior. God makes sinners righteous when they believe in Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only door. He is the only shepherd. And finally, he says this. He says, I am obedient only to the Father. Look at verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father. Well, this statement about his Father takes us all the way back to chapter 7 and all of the discussion that they've been having about who is your Father, who is your Father, who is their Father. All of these things, Jesus says, my Father loves me, and this is why. Because I lay down my life. And we know that he lays his life down for the sheep. And he says, no one takes my life from me. I saw the other day that a man said that Jesus was lynched by a crowd, by a mob, and his life was taken from him. No, it was not. He willingly took what happened to him. He willingly submitted himself. You can look throughout the Gospels and you see there were times they were ready to stone him. They had stones up and they were ready to throw it, and his time was not yet, so he walked through the midst of them. Jesus said, no one takes my life, I give it. Folks, if Jesus was just a man and his life was taken, he is just as guilty as we are as sinners. He needs a Savior. But he's not. He is 100%. He is fully God and fully man. And as God and as man, he came and he gave himself so that we could be forgiven. He is the only way, as he has said over and over and over again. Matthew Henry said this, he is both the offerer and the offering. In laying down his life, he is offering up himself. This idea of taking his life back up is the idea of resurrection. If Jesus had not been resurrected, we would have no way to heaven. We would have no way to God. We would have no inheritance in the new heavens and new earth. We would be lost. If Jesus had not raised, we would have no proof that God's plan had been fulfilled. But he was. We just celebrated it with Easter. Up from the grave he arose. New life he is given. And Jesus said, I have the authority to do this. And I was charged by my Father to do this. So in this passage of Scripture, we've seen Jesus saying, I am the only way into the sheepfold, safety, the kingdom, salvation. Anyone who has snuck in among the sheep, snuck in another way, and they're a thief and a robber. There are folks who grow up in the church, come around the church, that are not believers in Jesus Christ. They'll say they are, and they act like they might be, but down deep inside, they have no faith in Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Jesus proclaimed that he is the only shepherd and he is the one who truly cares for the sheep. And he came at great cost for himself, giving his life. And he is doing that in obedience to God, his Father. And he makes this emphatic statement, I am the way. He makes people choose. He has made you choose. And if you choose not to choose today, you still chose. So here are our questions. Question you can ask yourself, have I come to Jesus with faith unto salvation? Have I come to Jesus by faith unto salvation. If you say yes, then ask yourself, what shepherd am I hearing? What shepherd am I listening to? You know, I pulled the phone out earlier and talked about those folks who call. Well, we also have this thing called Facebook and Instagram and all that, and I'm not going to go off on, oh, you shouldn't. That is a teaching tool. We are reading and being trained, and we are gaining understanding of the culture, and we are being told what to do. All of those things. Now, I don't have my tinfoil hat. That's not what I'm talking about. When we watch movies, when we listen to songs, when we read books, all of those things are informing us. What shepherd are you listening to? Evaluate what people are teaching you. Whether they're standing behind this pulpit or any other pulpit, whether it's coming across the radio, whether it's coming across some podcast, evaluate what shepherd you're listening to. If it doesn't match what Jesus says, not what you think he says, not what grandma said he says, not what the pastor says he says, no, what you look at and Jesus actually said, if it does not match, be very careful. What shepherd are you listening to? And the final question is this. If Jesus is the only way and Jesus is the only shepherd, what are you going to do with Jesus? You can accept and follow or reject and be lost. Praise God he sent Jesus. Because if I had to climb my way to heaven trying to be good, I'm out. Praise God, he sent a Savior, a shepherd who loves us. Because getting to God is beyond our grasp. Not just barely, totally. The Bible speaks of the one who is coming. He was talking to them. He has come. He has died. He has been buried. He has been raised. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he makes intercession for those who are his sheep. What are you going to do with Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus because that's the only way that we can come. Father, we come and we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I ask that you would speak to them. That you would move in their hearts and that they would cry out to you, recognizing, just like I have to, I'm a sinner. And may they cry out to you and ask that Jesus' blood be placed on their account of sin. That their sins could be forgiven. Father, for those of us who have been believers for many years or even just for a short time, I ask that you would speak to us through your word, through the power of your spirit, that we would learn to pay attention to your voice. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen.